Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, JJ Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome in to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast, the very first playoff edition of the Capitals Face-Off podcast for this season. It's very exciting. I'm, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, JJ Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Wile E. Coyote to my Roadrunner. He's Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
I was a big Roadrunner fan growing up, so this one kind of, tugs at the heartstrings a little bit. But come on, man. How many times do we have to be told by fans that these are lame?
More people are clearly telling us that they enjoy these.
Not more.
Yes.
No.
Yes. You.
Those are fake numbers. You're just making these up. You're making these up.
You've heard this from like three people. No, just about every email we've gotten says that they love the intros.
It's because your wife is writing those emails.
I would be shocked if my wife has listened to more than two episodes of this podcast.
More than my wife. Not a hockey fan.
What we will talk about today, it's the playoffs. Of course, we're going to talk about the playoffs. Playoffs? We're going to preview the Caps first round series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. We're going to look at the rest of the NHL, and we're going to put a bow on the regular season. Tarik, on the last day of the season, the Caps still had three possible first-round opponents between the Philadelphia Flyers, Columbus Blue Jackets, and New Jersey Devils. When the dust finally settled, the Caps were left with a first-round series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tarik, I've seen you researching them all morning. Tell me about the Columbus Blue Jackets.
They're in Columbus, Ohio. Their primary colors are blue and red, I think. They have a very loud cannon.
Yes, the cannon.
At Nationwide Arena. No, in all seriousness, they're a tough opponent. They were not the team that I wanted the Capitals to face. I said it time and again, even though a lot of people, including Al May, thought I was an idiot for saying it, I thought the Flyers would have been a pretty decent matchup. I thought New Jersey would have been probably the other team I would have preferred to see the Capitals face. Columbus worries me for a few reasons. Number one, they've got a coach that is very comfortable with facing them in the postseason. I believe this is the fifth time that John Tortorella has matched up against the Capitals in the postseason, with Tampa, with the Rangers, and now with the Blue Jackets. It's the first ever meeting between the Capitals and the Blue Jackets in the postseason. He's a good coach.
Yes, he is.
He knows how to get under people's skin.
He certainly does.
He knows how to play the post-game press conferences to get favor with referees and to get under the skin of opponents. And he's just a master motivator and a very good tactician. He's very good with X's and O's. If there's one coach out there in this postseason, and look, all the coaches who are in the postseason right now are good. That's why their teams are here.
Correct.
This guy is really good. And so he's one of the things that worries me about this team. The other thing, it's Sergei Bobrovsky, the reigning Vezina Trophy winner. He stinks. He sucks. He's awful against Washington, but he's really, really good against everyone else. And at some point, he's going to be good against Washington. And that worries me, because nothing influences the outcome of a series in the postseason more than goaltender. Just ask Yaroslav Halak. Just ask any of the goaltenders who had their hottest moments of their career against the Capitals in the postseason. And there's a long laundry list of those goaltenders. And I just hope that Sergei Bobrovsky does not join that group. He is an elite, game-changing player, and I hope he does not find success against the Capitals. But Tortorella and Bob, they worry me.
Sergei Bobrovsky is certainly the wild card in this series, for sure. He is the defending Vezina Trophy winner. yes, he does stink against the Capitals, but he is an all-world goalie, and so that is definitely a factor for sure. Offensively, this team actually got better than last year. They took a dip in the standings in terms of points, but they actually got better because they added Artemi Panarin, who has been phenomenal. He has 82 points. Seth Jones has 57. So you can see the difference there and how important Artemi Panarin is to the success of the Blue Jackets. Seth Jones and Zach Werenski are a fantastic defensive duo. They're going to be tough to beat in the defensive zone. John Tortorella, very good coach, certainly knows how to get under people's skin, especially the media, but, you know, other opponents as well. So this is a very interesting matchup. When it came down to Philadelphia, Columbus, or New Jersey, the thing was, if you were going to rank those opponents, Columbus was the worst matchup for the Caps of those three. I know the Caps have success.
The Penguins were the worst, so thank goodness they avoided them, because yes, we don't want to see them.
Of the three heading into the last day, Columbus was the worst matchup.
I agree, and unfortunately they got them, but I do feel like the Capitals are going to prevail. I feel like they are the better team. When I look at the Blue Jackets on a whole, they play a very good team game, and they have to because they don't really have guys who can, outside of Bobrovsky, who plays the most important position in the sport of hockey. But you look at Artemi Panarin, and then you look at who's next in points. Mm-hmm. It's a defenseman.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that to me, I'm not saying they can't score goals, but they got to work hard for those goals. And I think the pathway for the Capitals here is clearly bring their offensive game because they have way more weapons. But also, I think you got to get into Bob's head early. You got to shoot pucks from any and everywhere, make him work, and hopefully you get a couple early, and he starts going, "Oh, here we go again."
Here's the Caps.
Because his numbers, like he's an all-world goalie, except for against the Capitals. Career, he is 7-10-4 with a .900 save percentage and a .302 goals against. That's garbage.
That's not good.
That's bad for an average goaltender. But when you have an elite goaltender that has those kind of numbers against one team, those are outlier stats. Those are, whoa, how come he's terrible against that one team? So I think if the Capitals can get to him early, that'll certainly behoove them and serve them well. But can't count on it.
Sure. You want, if you're the Caps, you want to get in his head early because all of a sudden those numbers disappear if Bobrovsky shuts them out in game one or allows one goal and he starts to get a little bit of confidence. Then nobody's talking about what he did against the Capitals in the past in the regular season. All of a sudden it becomes what he's doing now. And if he's a goalie playing with confidence, that's a problem. So you definitely want to get to him early if you're the Capitals. But you're right, Tark. This is a Columbus team. They don't have a lot, besides Bobrovsky, they don't have a lot of superstar power. And if there's one thing that concerns me, they may not be the run-and-gun style of team that worries most people when it comes to the Caps, since they seem to struggle against that speed a little bit. But they do crash the net. They are a physical team. They like to crash the net. And if there's one thing the Capitals have not done well in the last few games, it's protect the front of the net. I mean, Nashville scored 4 goals. 3 of those goals are right on the doorstep. We saw that again in New Jersey. The Capitals have had some trouble getting players away from the front of the net. And by the way, for everyone out there wondering if Brooks Orpik is going to play in the playoffs, especially now since Columbus is that matchup, you better believe he's going to play because they're going to need someone to clear that crease. And that is what Brooks Orpik does better than anyone on this team.
I would agree with that. I don't think there was any question, at least not in my mind, that Brooks Orpik was going to play and play a lot. The other thing that concerns me, not to the level that Torts and Bob do, but, and this is probably silly even to mention, but when you kind of start looking ahead, even if you get through the Blue Jackets because of how big and physical and hard they play, they take a chunk with you. They take a chunk of you. You just wonder if this becomes a long, drawn-out series that goes, let's say, 6 or 7 games. I mean, even if you make it through, what do you have left if you're now looking at Pittsburgh or Philly on the other end? Of course, you know, let's worry about getting past Columbus first. But, man, when I look at the teams that were possibilities, this was third.
Yeah, this is what we thought last year when Pittsburgh was playing Columbus. We thought, all right, Columbus is going to get their pound of flesh, and then the Caps will be able to beat Pittsburgh. Didn't work out that way. Now, hopefully, the Capitals will have as much success against Columbus as Pittsburgh did. But I think you're right, Tig. I think that's definitely a concern. You have to think about how much it will take out of the Caps to get through this series, for sure, especially because, as we'll talk about, I'm not so sure how much of a series that Pittsburgh-Philadelphia one's going to end up being. All right, so, Tig, what has to happen for the Caps to win this series? What's your big key?
The big key is going to be, for me, is going to be finding a way to get Bobrovsky doubting himself early. And we've already talked about that, but it's winning that first game. It's hanging a five spot on him.
Yep.
It's making him go back to the hotel after game one and go, holy crap, it's happening again. I'm good against everybody but this team. You know, there's so many other things that are going to go into this. And, you know, it's not just going to be, you know, putting pucks past Bobrovsky, although that's going to be a big part of it. You know, it's going to be having the big players show up. I mean, you look at the way this Capitals team finished the season, 12 wins in their last 15 games, contributions from all the big names, everyone, Oshie, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Ovechkin, everyone was, all the big stars were chipping in. They're going to have to be hot again. You know, we're not going to be able to have a situation like last year where, you know, you had the eighth-seeded Toronto Maple Leafs, and it took probably till game three before the Caps really got their game back. And had it been a better opponent, they might not have gotten out of the first round. I mean, all those games went to overtime. I mean, that was a lot tighter and a lot bigger of a scare, I think, than anyone realizes. And so they're not going to be afforded that luxury against Columbus. You go down a game or two to Columbus, I'm not sure that's coming back.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard.
That might be it. I mean, they are a better team than the Toronto Maple Leafs from last year.
I would agree with that. I think they are a better team than last year's Toronto. I think they're a better team than last year's Columbus. So I'm not looking at that Pittsburgh-Columbus series and saying, oh, it's okay, the Caps have got this. I think this is a better team than they were last year. One of the keys for me is going to be special teams. I know we don't see power plays as much in the playoffs as we see in the regular season, but the Capitals have a distinct advantage there. Columbus ranks 25th in the power play and 27th in penalty kill. The Capitals, when they have the chance on the power play, they have to take advantage. Whenever they're in the box, they have to keep Columbus off the board. They have a distinct advantage there. They have to take advantage of that. If this becomes an equalizing factor for Columbus, where they're getting just as many power play goals as the Caps are, I think the Capitals are in big, big trouble there. That's an advantage for the Caps. They have to play on that advantage. Tarik, one more thing. Barry Trotz has not named the goalie yet. We're recording this as of Monday. How much of a factor is that in terms of the preparation here? Do you think the uncertainty there is a weakness, considering that they're playing a team with a very much established goalie?
I don't think so. As long as the people in the room know and believe, I don't care what Trotz tells the media and by extension tells the fans. I mean, this is that time of year where, you know, coaches that already play things very tight to the vest really start to zip it up. And,
yep.
And they don't lie, but they don't tell you the full story. And there's a little subterfuge and misdirection. And there's a little bit of that goes on. Gamesmanship. I'm fine with that. As long as the goaltenders understand where they are. And, you know, just I can tell you, like any employee, like any player, you want to know where your boss sees you and what kind of standing you have with your boss and your group. And as long as they are all on the same page, and I don't know about you, JJ, but my feeling through this whole thing, this has been going on for like a month now. Braden Holtby has said the right things. We haven't seen any blowups or nothing. There's been no outward signs of tension that would suggest to me that Braden Holtby is taking this poorly. Or, you know, even, you know, or Philip Grubauer is getting stressed out by not knowing, or, you know, they just seem to both be kind of chill dudes who are just like, you know what, we're gonna do the best we can to keep that little black disc out of the net when my number's called. You know, there are times when athletes will kind of give you that lip service and you don't really know if that's really how they feel, if they're just saying that because they're trying to say the right things. I kind of feel like that's really what they feel, is just when their number's called, they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
If this team goes on a long run, JJ, if this team goes, let's say, to the conference final or further, both goalies are going to play.
Yes.
I can tell you
that. I would agree with that.
I don't know if they start with Grubby or if they start with Holtby. I mean, I would start with Grubby, but whoever plays is going to eventually yield the net to the other guy, because right now it really is a 1-1A situation, depending on how you view the two players right now.
All right, Tarik. Prediction time. Give me your prediction for Capitals Blue Jackets.
Caps in six.
Okay.
I think they are going to overwhelm them offensively. I think that they are the better team top to bottom. And you mentioned a minute ago when you were talking about your keys to the matchup, They're far superior in specialty teams. And I just feel like the Caps have too many pieces up front for the Blue Jackets to shut down. There are too many guys going right now. There are too many components of their offensive game that are going right now. I know that the bottom six, we need to see more from them as the postseason goes on. But I just think that, you know, with Oshie on a roll, Backstrom on a roll, Kuznetsov having a huge month coming in of, you know, Ovechkin with 49 goals and the way he's played the last month, there are just too many pieces. They're not going to be able to shut them all down. I like their defense, and I think they have some good defensive forwards. Werenski and Jones are an outstanding top pair. I mean, those are some good players right there. But yep. I think they're just going to wear them down, and eventually they're gonna get by them. The question, like I said a moment ago, is, you know, are they going to exact their pound of flesh and leave the wounded Capitals team on the other side?
Here's what worries me, Tarek. Since the trade deadline, no team in the NHL has more goals than Columbus. Thank you, Tom Gallitti, for that stat, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Panarin and I played very well. That power play was trash for most of the year. But then they got Thomas Vanek, and it's been a whole lot better. It's been a whole lot better. But I think that Capitals have too many areas where they are a notch above. Hopefully they don't feel that way. Hopefully they come to work every day and don't, you know, underestimate anybody. And we saw it throughout the year. I mean, first of all, the Capitals have played very, very well against Columbus in general in recent years. But this season, I mean, with the exception of the clunker that Holtby had, the 5-1 loss on trade deadline day.
The Caps were
the better team. Yeah. I mean, and not by several goals, you know, by a goal, two goals, a goal. I mean, they were close games, but the Caps were the better team.
Since March 1st, the Blue Jackets are 13-4-2, so this matchup will definitely pit two of the hottest teams in the NHL against one another. But ultimately, the Capitals are the better team. I have them winning in six. We even saw a preview of this. The Capitals and Blue Jackets played back-to-back, home and home, and the beginning of March, I believe it was.
February.
It was February.
Beginning of February, yeah.
And what did we say? Oh, playoff preview. This is going to be like a playoff series. And the Capitals won both games, and they looked dominant doing so.
3-2, 4-2, and
they were close, but the Capitals were the better team in both games, for sure.
They were, but also Braden Holtby, I believe, stood on his head in both of those games. I think he faced like 40-some-odd shots in one game and 35 in the other. But some of the Columbus Blue Jackets, if anyone who's watched them play knows that if they get 40 shots or 35 shots, 15 of them are kind of garbage. I mean, they funnel pucks at the net. If you have a competent goalie and a good D in front of you, half of those shots are not really high danger.
I think goaltending is the ultimate key in this series for both sides of the net, Bobrovsky and then whoever ends up playing net for the Capitals.
Do you know why I'm really excited about this series?
Why?
My favorite restaurant on the road is in Columbus.
Yes, you've been talking about that since Columbus became a possibility.
The Tip Top Kitchen in downtown Columbus. Open-faced roast beef sandwich with mashed potatoes and gravy on top of it and some sweet potato fries and a beverage of choice. It's open till 2. It's a sports writer's dream.
Well, enjoy. We are going to put a bow on the regular season right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, let's have a little bit of fun.
What up?
At the beginning of the season, you and I put together our projected standings, and we gave three bold predictions each for the Capitals for this season.
I don't recall.
I have them up right here.
Okay.
So let's take a look at them real quick. First, prediction from you.
You're like my wife who saves receipts and stuff, like throw them back in your face months later. I hate you.
First, from you. Okay. Alex Ovechkin tops the 33 goals he scored last season. Good prediction by you.
I'm a smart man.
49 goals this year, his seventh Rocket Richard. That's a good prediction by you. And it looked like a safe prediction. What was it, 7 goals in the first 2 games of the season?
And when did we make these predictions? I don't recall.
Before the season started.
Oh, so before
this published October 5th, so before it happened.
Yeah, before the 7 goals in the first 2 games. Okay, yeah, I mean, I know stuff.
All right, my first prediction. Philip Grubauer will not finish the season as a Cap.
I remember it. Now it's all coming back to me. I remember looking at you sideways like, what?
Well, if you recall, since Brayden Holtby was so dynamic and since all we heard about in the summer was how much they trusted Phoenix Copley, I thought they would find a trade partner for Philip Grubauer. And, in fact, they wanted to trade Philip Grubauer in the summer to Vegas. Or they want Vegas to take him in the expansion draft.
The reason I never bought into that, folks, is because I knew they were going to be introducing some young and new players in the back end, and they were going to need all the help and goal that they could get. And I felt like he was going to be around at least through the trade deadline, possibly the whole season. And let's be honest, folks, if it weren't for Philip Grubauer, I'm not so sure where – you know, it's funny, and not to go off on a tangent here, but all those folks out there that complained about Nate Schmidt the situation not being handled properly, and a good player. It worked out. Without Grubauer, I'm not so sure this Capitals team would be in the playoffs right now.
All right, well, don't gloat too much, Tark, because you don't remember what your other two predictions are.
I don't.
Here's number two for you. Washington's power play will top last year's 23.1%.
Where do they finish?
They finished 22.5. So not
come
quite.
On, percentage points. What are we talking about? That's a crossbar. That's a post.
That's not terrible.
That's a skate.
Your third one's going to be embarrassing. But my second one, Jacob Vrana will score 20 goals.
13? What did he finish with, 13?
I believe he finished with 13. You get the house right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, I will tell you, yeah, 13.
13.
So, if he had played a little more...
If he
might have gotten
more,
15 or 16.
I mean, at the beginning of the season when he was on that second line and Kuznetsov and Ovechkin.
Here's a Verona jock sniffer.
And Verona were lighting things up.
Yeah.
This looks like a good prediction. Verona's cycled through the lineup a little bit, and now there could even be a chance he may not even be in the playoff lineup, which I think is crazy, as I said in the last podcast.
I don't see that happening. I think he'll get 20 goals next year.
Okay.
Mark me down.
Third prediction for Tark Elbashir. This is where things go off the rails.
But so wait, I'm 2-for-2, right? Or I'm like,
no,
I'm like,
you are
1-0-1. Now I'm 1-0-1.
You got it wrong.
It was percentage points, man. You got to give me like an overtime loss for that.
Okay.
Well, miss shootout loss for that. 1-0-1.
This one's a loss. Nathan Walker will have a breakout season in a full time role.
Oh, I don't remember that, but holy. Wow.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much. boo me.
Claimed briefly by Edmonton.
Played a game or two. And
played two games for Edmonton, then got claimed back here, then went to Hershey and spent the rest of the season there. So, bit off on that one. But my third prediction, I was more right than I expected, but I was very right. Braden Holtby will not be a Vezina finalist this season. I think it is safe to say that Braden Holtby will not be a Vezina finalist this season.
I haven't cast my votes yet.
I could make you wrong.
No, I'm just kidding. By the way, folks, I was up till almost midnight last night going through.
Oh, were you up till midnight? My heart bleeds for you, Tark.
I've already gone through the babies in the house, man. I trust me. I know what you're going through. I've already been through that, though. Don't be mad at me. I've graduated from that stage in my life. I'm older than you are. But I was up last night just wringing my hands over Hart and Norris and Calder, and the one that really gets me is Lady Bing. Holy crap,
that's a hard award.
I'm calling people around the league that I've known for years, and they're all like, bro, I can't help you on Lady Bing. You know what you do to Lady Bing? And Steve Wino suggested this to me. I talked to him last night.
Just look at penalty minutes, right?
That's what I look at. But I look at guys who play hard matchups and play a lot of minutes and have some production and don't take a lot of penalties. But you know who should do it? Referees should do it. They know who's really clean and who doesn't, who's not always talking trash.
Yeah,
it's
like
a gentlemanly award.
You
should really get the Referees Association to cast their votes for the Lady Bing.
Yeah, refs are supposed to be unbiased anyway. Yeah. So, okay. Moving on to our standings. Here's what you had for the West, Tark, and we just did who made the playoffs. We didn't do through the entire thing. Your Central Division, number one, the Dallas Stars. Swing and a miss.
Whoops.
Number two, the Minnesota Wild.
Ding, ding, ding.
Number three, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh.
In the Pacific, number one, the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
Number two, the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh.
Number three, the San Jose Sharks. Hey, okay. You actually hit that one on the nose.
I'm 50% right now.
Wild card. Number one, Nashville.
Okay.
And number two, St. Louis Blues.
All right, so I got four of my eight teams, correct? Dude, if you bat .500,
you're
an MVP.
You didn't do that badly. We both got suckered by Dallas and Chicago, and most people didn't see that coming. All right, here's mine before I gloat too much. Central, number one, Dallas. Number two, Chicago. Number three, Nashville. So I got Nashville.
Okay.
Pacific. Number one, Edmonton.
You're 1-for-4.
Number two, Anaheim.
Okay.
Number three, Calgary.
Oh.
But then I picked.
Wait, and you're the guy that we have doing our power rankings? I don't know. We might need to reevaluate this.
Wild card. I picked things up in the wild card. I have Minnesota and San Jose. So I got two more playoff teams in there.
So you got three right?
I got one, two, three, four. I got four.
Okay, I got four right, too.
Four.
Okay. All right, so we're even.
Yeah, all right, smart ass. In the East, Tarek has in the Metro, number one, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Columbus.
All right.
Atlantic, number one, Tampa Bay. Number two, Toronto. Number three, Montreal.
Oh, I didn't know Carey Price was going to implode on me.
Wild card, number one, Rangers.
See, I remember. I distinctly remember going back and forth with Flyers there. I do remember that.
Number two, Boston.
Yeah, Boston surprised everyone, but I remember going back and forth with Rangers and Flyers. So I got 7 of 8, right?
Was that 7 of 8? I don't think. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, you missed on the Rangers and Montreal.
Oh, okay. So six of eight. I mean, you know, for a guy who's paid to pay attention to the Eastern Conference,
yep.
I'll take a B+.
For me, Metropolitan, number one, Columbus.
Okay.
Number two, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, New York Rangers. Moving on to the Atlantic.
All right. Where were the Capitals?
I had them as a wild card.
Okay.
So, and in my defense, the Rangers were competitive for a playoff.
They just fired their coach, JJ Shuttit.
Before that stupid letter came out saying that they were rebuilding. They were like 1 point out of the playoffs.
They just fired their coach.
In the Atlantic, number one, Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Number two, Toronto.
Okay.
Number three, Montreal.
All right.
Wild card, number one, Washington. Number two, Carolina. Yes, they caught me again, the stupid Carolina Hurricanes. I am not going to pick the Carolina Hurricanes
to
make the playoffs.
So I beat you. So you had 5 and I had 6. You hear this, folks?
Well, you're really going to beat me because now we have the conference winners.
All right.
And the Stanley Cup final.
In the interest of full disclosure, folks, I don't even remember making these picks. I'm asked to do this so often for so many different things. I definitely focus in on it, but I don't remember.
All right, Tarek, your Stanley Cup final, actually not bad. Anaheim versus Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It's not bad.
I remember that.
Your Stanley Cup winner, you picked the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to get out of the first round, but you know what, Tarek?
They're going to beat the Sharks.
Tarek,
you're nuts.
You did a pretty good job there.
They're going to beat the Sharks, dude.
Mine not so much. Stanley Cup final, Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Versus Edmonton. Stanley Cup winner, Tampa Bay. So at least I
folks, I think he's lying. I think he picked Edmonton.
No, it took me the first word in my synopsis was Edmonton may have the best player. So I thought, oh no. No, but I picked Tampa Bay. So there's a chance I could still get that right. But Edmonton, yes, total miss.
Your bracket was busted.
Total miss for me on that Edmonton pick. That's enough out of that. Now it's time to look forward to this year's Stanley Cup playoffs, which we will right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, we're going a bit long, so we're going to go quick with our Stanley Cup picks here for the first round. But first, Tarek, I have to remind everyone of this because of what happened last year. We have to do better than we did last year.
Okay.
Because if you recall, last year's first round series was Chicago and Nashville. I asked you, hey, Tarek, does Nashville have any chance in this series? You said, nope. And I said, okay, let's move on. And yep, that was our synopsis of that series.
I remember.
So, let's quick hits here.
Okay.
Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia.
Philly.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You're picking Philly?
I am.
I think Pittsburgh may win that series in 3 games.
You're crazy.
You don't even need 4. I don't think that's going to be a series at all. I think that's crazy.
I think the 49 games that Pittsburgh has played over the past 2 years in winning 2 cups is finally going to catch up to them. I think Philly has some really, really good young players and some steady veterans in Voracek and Giroux, and the goaltending situation's a mess.
You know what's not steady? They're goaltending.
It's a mess. But you know who's not looking good right now either? Matt Murray.
Okay.
And those
crazy.
Philly.
That's crazy. Pittsburgh's going to win that
Mark
series.
Mark it down.
And
tweet it.
And it may be 3
Screaming
games,
from the mountaintops.
Tampa Bay versus New Jersey.
Tampa. That's going to be not that close.
People are down on Tampa. I still have full faith in Tampa.
Five games.
I picked Tampa in that one. Boston versus Toronto.
Boston. Best team in the East.
If I was looking for an upset
Might be
first
a good series.
Round,
might be a good series.
If I'm looking for an upset in the first round, Toronto may be my team there. I think Mike Babcock is a great coach. Boston played great in the second half of the season, but when the games mattered, They fell apart.
Okay,
they
so
lost to Florida.
So
they lost 4-0 to the Steven Stamkos-less.
Can I talk?
Lightning.
When the Caps face the Bruins in the Eastern Conference Final,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into the Bruins room and tell Brad Marchand what you said. He's going to come in the room and punch you in the face.
And, you know,
and I'm going to have my phone out, and I'm going to record it.
Yep, and you know what? He'll get a $5,000 fine for it and be able to play that night.
He won't get a fine. He won't even get a fine.
I don't know what he has in the NHL, but he's got something.
Oh, that was actually pretty good. Well played.
All right, Nashville versus Colorado.
Nashville, close.
Nashville.
That might be the most lopsided series. And I think I said this about the Nashville-Chicago series last year. This shouldn't be close. It should be four games.
The most lopsided series is going to be the next one. But Nashville, I have Nashville. This is the most lopsided series.
No.
Winnipeg versus Minnesota.
Winnipeg don't scare me. I mean, Winnipeg's going to win, but
Winnipeg's going to win.
It could be close.
They were going to win before Ryan Suter got injured. Now Ryan Suter's out.
It's bad.
No Minnesota.
It's bad.
No way. Interesting one here. Vegas versus Los Angeles.
This, honestly, besides the series that I'm covering and also Philly-Pittsburgh, this is my third most interesting series to me.
What in it do I say? This is the third most interesting series.
So hopefully, I haven't looked at their schedule, but hopefully they don't play on the same days as the Caps or the Penguins and Flyers, and they can be like that. They'll be the late one anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully they won't play on the same nights as the Caps, so
right.
I can eat my Taco Bell. And and watch the Vegas Golden Knights versus the Kings.
Who'd you pick?
I'm going to go Vegas, but I think it's going to be a really fun, good series. Because I'll tell you, man, Anze Kopitar, MVP caliber season. Drew Doughty, Norris caliber season. Jonathan Quick can stand on his head when he wants to. The supporting cast is good. The coach is good. Vegas is playing with house money, no pun intended. I don't know.
Ooh,
that was terrible. But I'm going to roll the dice on,
yeah.
On the Golden
you keep
Knights.
Going. I've doubted Vegas all season, and all they do is prove me wrong, so I see no reason to stop now. I picked LA in the upset. Last one.
Wow.
Anaheim versus San Jose.
Anaheim.
That's incorrect. The answer is San Jose. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next Mailbag Pod, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. Target is the best damn time of the year. It is NHL playoff time. I am pumped.
I'm not going to pay much attention to my family over the next, 8 weeks. I'm going to be up all hours of the night watching games, that are being played on the West Coast that most Americans couldn't give a crap about. I'm gonna be screaming at my television when Joe Pavelski scores an overtime goal. I mean, it's that time of year where I go all in and looking forward to it.
I am totally pumped. Cannot wait for this to start. We hope you enjoyed this preview. Thanks for tuning in. As always, for Target Publisher, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.